Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. It is The Usual Suspects on a Wednesday, the day after Christmas, as we are sitting here with you because we are here, men of the people. Nick is here. Barry's here. I'm here. We don't take vacation. We don't take off this week because it's the easy thing to do.
I don't ever take off.
Oh, my God. Well, there's another. There's
here we go again.
Yeah, here goes the dad.
This joke. And lawn talk. Can't stand it.
Can't stand what?
How many days do you take off a day? A year, sir.
50.
How many days do I take off a day?
Or a year.
No, let's go with your original question.
Okay. That's fine.
How many days do I take off a day? Well, Cowboy fan.
Oh, that's what we're going to. You're the Cowboy fan. That's your crew. That's your group of people, sir. Yeah, I'm not no Cowboys fan.
What?
Yeah, I'm not no Cowboys fan.
I am not a Cowboy fan either.
Please.
Just the opposite.
Cowboys and Aggies.
I am a not fan.
Big fan.
No, it's not Cowboys and Aggies.
Yes, it is.
It's Texans and Aggies. Yeah. I feel like there's that association, right?
I thought there was a new restaurant, Cowboys and Aggies. No?
I always
they got quesadillas?
Like, it's just Lone Star Paps. That's it. I feel like there's maybe I'm wrong in my head just because I was always growing up an Aggie fan and a Oilers/Texans fan, but I always felt like Aggie fan was normally a Texan fan and Longhorn fan was normally a Cowboy fan. But that may be wrong. I'm sure there are plenty of Aggies that are Cowboys fans.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, someone sent us a picture. Who was this? Donna. She sent me. It is nasty out there right now.
Well, oh, thanks, the weather?
Donna.
Yeah. A third of an inch an hour of rainfall has been recorded since 2:30. This is getting it.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And the temperature's supposed to drop. Between now and the weekend, it's supposed to be down in the 40s, Nick, for highs.
Hate cold weather,
you
but it's been really nice.
Keep that dome piece warm.
I know, man.
Since you got the HIV, man.
The HIV? You're the one who had the HIV for 5 straight days.
God.
Go drink that hottie toddy,
it
bro.
Just, screw the holidays. It never even impacted it to begin with. But after the holidays, it's just like right back where we left off.
Like P. Diddy. Can't stop, won't stop. Guys, if I didn't pick on you two, what would this show become?
Successful.
That was the perfect response, Joel Blank.
You're welcome.
Perfect.
I hate you so much.
Look. Here's the thing, as we wrap up the Rockets, too, and I know Cody had the exact opposite take, Nick, when you guys were on your show. But here's the thing, just a little bit of a holiday advice for the executive office over at the Rockets. Stop responding to Twitter. It's a bad look. If you missed it, ESPN sent out 3 different pictures of Harden getting fouled or like yelling that he got fouled. And said, caption this.
It was ESPN or Yahoo?
ESPN. Okay. Mm. Yahoo also did it today. Mm. Okay. They do it for the exact reason, if you look at the comments, that they get. They want the clicks. They want the back and forth.
Clickbait,
they
bro.
Exactly. They want both sides of the equation to debate it out. They don't want the CEO of the team, who's a fanboy, tweeting out his response, which is, that's the MVP of the league, carrying the team on his shoulders so you have employment. Pretty sure the guys at ESPN had employment before and will have it again, whether they have the NBA or not. And oh, by the way, they pay for the rights to to have the NBA on, and then they sell it. So that has nothing to do with it. But just don't respond. Because then Yahoo, Barry, to your point, Yahoo Sports comes out with one today that says Harden had 41 points on 35 shots. Just waiting for it. And I'm like, please don't do it again. Just don't respond. They just want people to go back and forth. They don't want the head of the freaking team to jump in like a fanboy and go, that's my MVP
actually,
you're
that's
talking
exactly
about.
What they want. That's exactly what ESPN wants. Having a CEO have a meltdown. Or I don't even know if that's a meltdown, but just going at them. That's exactly what they want.
Now, are you suggesting that this is similar to the fact that if someone were to text our show and be like, you guys suck, bunch of dumb bitches, and sent that to our show, and then David Gal, or they tweeted it, so David Gal would respond to the tweet? Are you suggesting that that's just not okay?
Yes.
I'm with you.
Indeed I am. And I also am suggesting totally that if someone, Barry,
it's a weird look.
For
it's
some
a weird
reason,
look.
If someone, or Nick, if someone tweeted out about one of you guys and made some kind of comment or said, caption this, I'm pretty sure that as grown-ass men, you can handle your own business. If you needed me, I'm there for you. But I'm pretty sure, especially you, I know you got this. And both of you, for that matter. So that's the thing. So as the CEO of the company...
Yeah, it's just a bad...
It's a bad look for him, no question.
It's a dumbass bad
look. But if ESPN can keep baiting his ass to respond, believe me, they're going to keep doing it. It's not like they're going to stop, so...
But how do you, like, get down into... That? Like, if I'm... Look, so we respond to people, but they're talking directly to
us.
It's not like ESPN tweeted him.
Right.
And said...
Right.
Who is it?
Who's what?
The person.
Oh, Tad Brown. Tad Brown, whose avatar is... Cowboys avatar, by the way... Is a big, like, animated
that was a Les Miles brain fart, sir.
It really was.
Of James Harden.
I'm like,
oh, I'm not holding back on that.
No,
Tad
Brown
is a fanboy when he should be the CEO of the damn team.
It was my brain fart. But I was just saying, like, it's not like ESPN said, hey, Tad Brown, come get your boy, right? And then posted the three crazy pictures of James Harden. Because then if he responds, I get it. It'd be like, oh, what is he doing there, ESPN? Oh, I'm glad you asked me. He's carrying the team and giving you a job and this and that. And then it's like, okay, that's fine. You responded. But this is just you out there reading tweets. And I mean, he has a right to say whatever he wants. It just looks weird.
He has to get used to it because
it looks weird.
I've told you guys. Every now and then, I like to, when they're on the road, I like to listen to the visitor broadcast.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
James Harden gets hate from fans, from broadcasters, from media members that do not cover the Rockets. Period.
Would you hate him if you didn't weren't a fan? It would be disgusting how much he flops and flails and throws his arms about to get a call.
Okay, but
you would absolutely
I don't
hate
know.
It.
I don't
okay, but
know.
Let's
yes,
be honest.
You would.
But let's
okay,
be
who
honest.
Do I hate in the NBA that does that? Nobody.
We've
I don't
said
hate
this
anybody.
Before. James Harden and his
Manu Ginobili? You don't hate
don't
Ginobili?
Hate him. Do not hate him.
Oh, I hate his flopping ass.
I mean,
no.
What this dude is doing this year, and he won the MVP last year, but it's
LeBron
nothing short
too.
Of incredible. Right? And you're right, Nick, because I've told you guys this before. When I was working for the Rockets, I would talk to every visiting team set of announcers that came to town. And I started asking them, who's your least favorite player and your least favorite team? The two least favorite players that I got from every team coming in, Blake Griffin and James Harden. And the two least favorite teams, coincidentally or not, were the Rockets and the Clippers. And that was when Chris Paul was with the Clippers.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been since day one, since all this hate and everything came towards James Harden, I've always been really big on drawing the foul, right? Like if you're, you know, planting your feet, you take that charge, you fall back. I don't necessarily consider that a flop. You're drawing the foul. If you're trying to get that foul, you're playing basketball. You're playing NBA. Now, if the ref misses it, that's on them. And there's going to be a lot of calls that's going to go against Houston. So I have absolutely no – call me a homer. I have no problem with the way Harden plays. I just don't.
I've said this. Talk about a guy that has studied the rules and is maximizing the best way to perform. You cannot take a single thing away from this guy. His offensive skill sets, the way that – look, what he's doing isn't illegal. So if you don't like it, figure out a way to stop it. We just told you, maybe try and double team him more, especially with Paul out, or do some things to get the ball out of his hands. Because you also have these people. So that's why, and I want to be very clear, I am taking nothing away from James Harden. Because James Harden is having another MVP caliber season, especially with what he's dealing with Paul being out. But the fact of the matter, if you have people that are way too intelligent, I hope they are, that are counting how many dribbles he takes in a game, The stat on ESPN this morning was James Harden has 5 games this year where he has dribbled the ball more than 600 times per game. The rest of the league, there are 4 guys.
Nice.
Who cares? Look at his numbers.
Love it.
People right bitch about he goes to the free throw line too much. So?
You are really on a rant right now.
So I want to, just because I want to be clear.
Can't get a word in over here.
Okay. I'm sorry. Because all I'm saying is I'm not bashing the Rockets and I'm not bashing James Harden because what James Harden's doing is amazing, especially carrying his team. But what I am saying is from a front office perspective and the top guy at the front office, stay out of it and let the people do what the website's trying to get you to do is just go back and forth, but be above that.
I mean, I'm with you on the CEO part. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, maybe he's been there quite a bit. I guess, you know, Fertitta is kind of allowing him to have his social media personality and go out some of these criticisms that people are taking at the Houston Rockets and his star player and James Harden. Look, if that's what he wants to do, I mean, if he wants to be some CEO with a personality, fine. I mean, I don't know how long.
Personality? He also went after Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers because Chris Paul got into it with Rajon Rondo.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I do remember that.
Just sit your ass down and run the team.
Well, I mean.
Jeez. Oh, and look, we've stirred up a few calls. So let's see what we got here. James
Harden. We'll take one. Is that cool?
Sure. So let's take one before the break, one after. So based on the fact that Timothy has been waiting longer, Timothy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
First off, not a huge Rocket fan, but I respect them. James Harden, great offensive player. But in my house, I got a 2-year-old boy. Anytime my boy falls down or does one of those little fake falls, I said, "Oh, son, don't do it, James Harden. It used to be a John Stockton, but now it's a James Harden. He does flop. A lot. Got to lose a little respect there." I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the feedback, Timothy. And I think you're right, Barry. I think it used to be a Ginobili.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the fair point for Rockets fans to admit, even though they loved him, Luis Scola was that guy, too.
Oh, very much so.
Because remember
Scola was a horrible flopper.
Yeah. Remember when it was the point of contention with the league where you get the letter, the fine, the warning, and then it was $5,000? Uh-huh. Scola was getting those letters and those fines because that was part of the international game, too, because the coincidence there, both Scola and Ginobili played for Argentina.
Yep.
So there you have that.
Euros perfected the step and the flop.
Yep. Timothy, we appreciate the call. Corey, we'll get you after the break. We're going to continue to roll on. If you want to be like those guys and join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Final hour of the big show. It's SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride, especially post-holidays, because we know that you got things to do and you're going all over the place. Maybe you're taking some stuff back. Are you guys gift taker backers? If you get something you don't like, don't want, or won't use, will you take it back?
I just throw it away.
You should try regifting. I've been told it's something to do.
You really?
Yeah. Nick,
that's
you
so
dick.
Unlike you.
I didn't even say anything this
Not
time.
Not this time. You always label me that.
I was going to step back from it this time, and he still like, called me a dick.
You stepped on me enough with it that I'm conditioned for it.
Or maybe he knew I was going to mention it.
It's possible. Either way.
He's just getting out ahead of it. Damage control.
I will never like call you out on your regifting ever again, sir. Ever.
This
they
year.
Were good regifts.
This year.
The Starbucks card was not a good regift, bro.
Why? You didn't use it?
No, I used it, but you got it for free. You didn't buy the gift. You didn't even.
That's why it's called regifting.
But I put more thought
who
into it than when you got me,
it?
Which was absolutely nothing.
Wait.
At least I thought about getting you something.
But hold on. He said you didn't buy it. That's the whole point of regifting.
Right, but still, I don't care. Like, why are you regifting a Starbucks gift card that you got because you yelled at one of the baristas.
So, yeah.
No, I didn't get it for that.
It wasn't a gift card.
Someone gave it to me for a free drink of anything you wanted.
Right.
And I gave it to Nick.
It was one.
I put more thought into it than what you got me.
Yeah, what'd you get him, Nick?
Nothing. Mm. Absolutely nothing. Oh.
A great year of production, producing, like the Usual Suspects.
Really?
Wait, yeah. Michael Carroll?
Well, you couldn't have got us that again this year?
Boom! I'm giving you some on that one right there.
Oh, hating ass Nick. That's what you get.
I hate both of you.
Okay. That's what you get.
Let's get to this Harden call.
Okay.
Let's change the subject right now.
Can you handle this? This is great production? Corey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm a huge fan of Harden.
Okay.
But I believe that one of the biggest things that fans have against him, fans of the NBA, mm-hmm. is that every great player flops. Jordan flopped. LeBron flops. But when's the last time that you saw Harden get into somebody's face and actually stand up for his team? It's one thing to flop and draw a foul, but Jordan got in the face of like Danny Ainge, John Starks, Reggie Miller. LeBron has gotten to the face of all these other people and fought for his team. When's the last time that you saw Harden get in the face of somebody else?
I mean, Corey,
many other people have gotten into the face of somebody else because of Harden?
I got to be honest, before we let you go, Corey, give me one where LeBron got into somebody's face. Because, I mean, look, I'm with you with Jordan because he went at Laimbeer. He went at the Pistons. I get that. But if you want to be fair now, before we criticize Harden on this, I don't recall LeBron going after anybody. Ever.
Okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm a bigger fan of Jordan than I am of LeBron. So I apologize for my ignorance on LeBron.
Okay.
So I apologize.
Okay, cool. No.
But there have been a few times where I've seen LeBron get into the face, and he's been face-to-face. He hasn't fought anybody.
Well, nobody in the NBA
fights. Ironically, he and Harden got into it. Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yeah. He and Harden got into it when Harden tried to kick him in the junk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember who it was specifically, but I do recall this year, mm-hmm. Harden not backing down from somebody after a foul or something. And being separated, obviously, because it's NBA, nobody's going to fight.
Oh, it was Rudy Gobert.
There you
recently,
go.
Recently, Rudy Gobert, when he hit him in the midsection.
But he wasn't roasted. Defending anybody but himself.
But he still stood up. But he still was standing up to him. And don't forget, Harden was part of that whole Clippers-Austin Rivers thing,
That's where I was
too.
Going.
So when he was involved with that.
Trevor went to the Mavs locker room to go after their big man, Harden was there. When they went after the Clippers, Harden was there.
Yep.
But on the flip side,
exactly do you want him to do in 2000? It's a different era. It's a completely different era. What do you want him? Do you want him to go and fight and defend all his teammates and then get kicked out of the game? Do you know what the Rockets situation is right now? Chris Paul is out. The depth has completely disappeared. And you guys want him to go and fight? Yeah. It makes no sense.
Absolutely right. And here's the other thing. Just like someone said, there were people coming out of the woodwork when Rondo and Chris Paul got into it and James kind of bailed out. That was a tight game.
Yeah.
And James couldn't afford to get thrown out if Chris was already thrown out because they would have lost that game.
Yep.
So you got to be smart in the situation, too. Yep. It's just part of the deal.
And believe me, you remember how many times people tried to bait Dwight Howard into losing his cool and getting thrown out of a game? That happens all the time. And of course you're going to do that with James Harden and trying to get him ejected.
But how many players were as dominant as Michael Jordan in that era? There were a bunch of great players, but dominant, just absolutely dominant. And the guy was going up to people were so scared. Players were scared of Jordan. Refs were scared of Jordan.
That's true. That's very true.
There's so many stars now. Like, I don't know if they're going to necessarily be as intimidated as they were back in the day,
Nick.
With Michael Jordan.
I mean, there were a lot of dominant players, though.
But the passing of the torch, it was Bird Magic, and then it went to Jordan. And you think about that. Isaiah at that point wasn't where he once was, and I don't
but
think
he still garnered that respect.
I don't think he was ever as like iconically dominant as Jordan. I think Iverson came in the
people
league
that you would name in the last 50 years or 40 years or whatever that would be as dominant as Jordan.
I mean, Iverson started to get there. I mean, Iverson pushed that to be one of those guys for a while there. But it was at a time when the league wasn't exactly at its all-time high either. But I think that's a good point, Nick, because now when you look at across the league, you can say LeBron's the best player on the planet, but on any given night, you could say Kevin Durant. You could say the Greek freak, Adetokounmpo. You could say Harden. You could say a lot of people. So it's a different era for sure. But yeah, Jordan kind of, because they said he resurrected the league at that point.
I mean, didn't he play in the era of the big centers too? So you had Robinson, you had Olajuwon, you had Ewing, you had, was Shaq coming around? He was a baby, but him and Hardaway, Sean Kemp, there were plenty of dominant players. And this was the era of guys coming straight out of high school and dominating too. Right. But I'm saying you're right though. But in every era, I feel like there's only one guy, right? You had Jordan,
but you had Bird and Magic at the same time.
Okay, so you're right in that regard. But it's since Jordan, there's been Jordan, there's been Kobe, there's been LeBron. And those three have dominated in an era. And I know there's some overlap and there's some other stars involved. But you're talking best of the best in the argument for the greatest player to have ever played. Those are the three guys,
or in
and that's
an era.
From the beginning. Yeah, in an era, but that's from the beginning too. So you can talk about all the other stars that are in the game and whether there was a lot, but those are three guys that I just, you know.
Is it era, Barry, or era?
my point is really more about the fact that.
But you make what you're saying is right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, my point is really more about like the intimidation factor. You're starting to see refs literally going up at one ref got suspended. For like not headbutting, but kind of
he did.
Putting
Sean
his
Livingston.
Head up against another player. Yeah. Like you never saw that back in the day because refs are starting to not care. They don't care.
But Nick, to your point, enforce it even more about Jordan. What did LeBron say? The first time that I met Michael was like meeting God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had this aura about him.
Yeah. There was no doubt about it. And look, I worked in the league and I worked in the locker rooms when Jordan was coming up. I worked Jordan's first game as a pro with the Bulls. And it wasn't there then, but it didn't take long. And you're right. When the book by Sam Smith was called The Jordan Rules, there's a reason why. Because everybody did. They looked at him like he was on a pedestal above everybody.
No doubt.
So that was definitely one of those deals. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We've got a half hour to go on the big show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Lister Line, where you can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes to go on the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride on the day after Christmas as we are here for one more day. The Blitz is here as they will be present and accounted for after we get off the air. And then that's it for everybody but Fred and the three of us. I looked at the schedule. Pretty much everybody else is off with the exception of our complete show and Fred.
Really?
Yeah.
It's about time you guys have the same attendance I have on this show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? Didn't you take off on Friday just to drink and hang out?
Good point.
So much fun,
while
too.
We were there?
That was so much fun.
You took off in front of our faces.
Yeah. Yep.
At least we have the common decency to not be here.
Hey, look, man. Vacation doesn't roll over, and I've got plenty of days. I could take a day, get hammered.
Don't you have some? Because I don't think...
I got a boatload.
You're just going to lose them.
I know.
Use it or lose it.
Man, I would take off the rest of the week if I were you. At least get them in.
No.
What's wrong with you?
I know you want to get rid of me, but...
No, that's not it at all. I'm just saying, I would be using mine. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to use mine. What sucks, though, is I'm still working when I use mine.
What sucks, too, is that I was going to re-gift Nick a Penny's gift card, and then he crapped all over re-gifting.
Yeah,
so now it's out of the question.
Hey, real quick, I got to give a shout-out to Drake Oberpiller, a family friend of mine who plays for Liberty Hill.
Okay.
So they made it to the high school football playoff. They did not win, but I just wanted to say shout out to him, and they had a good season. I heard that this year in Texas high school football in the playoffs was really good.
We talked about
North Shore, but all of the games were amazing.
Here's a blast from the past for you guys. Fox Sports Southwest, Fox Sports Southwest was the home of the high school football championships. Yeah. All the games played at Jerry World, almost every single game was like fantastic.
That's what I heard. Liberty Hill, the team he played for, 14-0.
Yeah.
Going into the high school playoffs. That's crazy, man.
There were just a lot of great games. And then, like I said, to culminate the end of the whole thing with a Hail Mary on the final play.
Wild.
Was just fantastic. The dude that's in the studio, that's like, I think he writes for one of the high school magazines. He kept saying, there's NFL and there's college, but nothing in the world compares to Texas High. And he was a little bit over the top. But
so when you start, Skip.
But when you do talk about just how good the games were, it's like,
it was really good.
Pretty easy to say why Texas high school football is great.
No doubt. So shout out to my guy, Drake Overpiller. Also, show alert. My last comedy show of the year is tomorrow. Houston Improv. Couples Therapy. It's a fun show. If you've not come to the Couples Therapy show, come check it out. Tickets are at improvhouston.com.
Cool.
I'm done.
There you have it.
That's it.
All right. Easy peasy.
All right, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Harden and the Rockets, and people were very passionate. You know, one thing I do want to say, though, is one name that I get frustrated gets kind of left out of the discussion in terms of LeBron and Jordan and the greatest of all time, and even Barry, when you were talking about eras, and I'm glad you brought it up, Kobe should get more credit.
I mentioned Kobe.
I know you did, but most people won't.
Don't. Yeah.
When you look at the titles and the individual hardware and all the things he did and that killer instinct that he always had, I hated Kobe because he was that good, and I saw him beat my teams when I worked for the Blazers. He did it there. When I worked for the Rockets, he did it there. That just tells you how good he was, and I think he should get more credit.
He was really good at forcing things on you, imposing his will, and making you do things you didn't want to do.
I think he was kind of forgotten only because his career was unfortunately kind of ended early after that Achilles injuries, and I guess for whatever reason, people have kind of forgotten him.
I saw what you did there. I heard it loud and clear, and I'm not going there, but okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Colorado guy. What? All right. Coach Doc waited patiently. What's up, man? Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays to you too, you guys too, man. How's everything going?
All good, my man. What's going on?
Okay. I was listening to you guys, and man, I think you're missing the point just a tad bit. When I hear you talk about the guys in the different eras, and you're talking about Harden versus the guys and how he's getting the calls and things like that. Now, the problem with those older guys who actually played the game and who actually coached the game, especially
You have to wrap it up pretty quickly, bud. You got to get to the point, all right?
I'm sorry. That they coach the game, they coach these high school guys. When we see guys trying to play Harden and they're playing them with such bad principles, and you see the guy scared to get up on Harden, even to guard him, because they figure if I get too close, if I put a hand on him, I'm going to get blown for a foul call. And it's so soft that those are fouls that we used to play through. Well, the thing is, when you see Harden take 35 shots and he only makes 15 of them, you wonder where he gets those other points from. Well, he's shooting 20 free throws at the line. And you're giving him 18 points at the line for free throws. That's what makes us older guys who played the game or whatnot, and we see the no-contact fouls that are given to Harden. That's why he's disliked. I wouldn't say he's hated. I would say he's disliked.
Well, Doc, look, man, we appreciate it, bud. We got to get you, as you know, if you've been listening to the show, man, we got to keep the calls to a minimum. That was almost 2 minutes of an 11-minute segment. So we got to get you guys to get to the point quicker when you're making points about basketball, football, baseball,
but
whatever
it
is.
I get what he's saying, but here's the thing.
I do get what you're saying. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, different eras, we understand. There was a different kind of physicality you kind of lent.
I don't know where he was going with the free throws and all that. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about. The whole discussion was about, which I think it was Corey, whoever said, you know, guys like Harden never gets in somebody's face. What does that have to do with him shooting 18 free throws? I don't know. I don't know the correlation, but I'm just saying.
I mean, ultimately, his point is people don't hate. He thinks people
he was talking fundamentals.
He was saying people don't hate Harden. They dislike him. And okay, point taken. I get it, but
what's the difference?
Well, he's saying,
are we really
going to
split hairs like
era?
That? People don't hate him. They just don't like him.
No, I think
that's the same thing.
The biggest takeaway of what Doc should have just to surmise and synopsis very quickly is
we got to get better at
old school guys don't like to like Harden because they feel like in their era with the physicality that was allowed that he wouldn't have been able to get away with or get the points that he gets because of it.
Yeah,
that makes sense? The old school guys want to see physicality, hand checking, shoulders. You know,
get over it. You're not going to see it again.
You're not.
Get over it.
It's just a different time of the
year. I want to see defensive ends be able to tackle a quarterback and not have a flag thrown. This is never going to happen.
That's the way it is.
Yep. All right. Dustin, regrets for time off. No regrets.
What
Dustin,
happened? Yeah.
What's up?
You hear? Am I on?
You're yes, on, sir. Dustin.
Long time listener, third time caller. So y'all are all, I'm a sucker too. I'm working this week because I spent all my paid time off. Arizona doesn't roll over either. So I was curious. I know Barry's probably doing comedy and stuff, but what time off did you take this year that you regretted that's making you work right now?
Appreciate you, Dustin. That's how you get, look at that, 25 seconds. Boom, boom, boom. Got his question. Said, what's up, guys? Love the show. Here's my question. Love it. All of my time off, I'll tell you what. I took a week off in the middle of the year to go to that stupid-ass festival in Burbank in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
That's a good one.
I did three shows for 9 people. I regret the hell out of that. Now, I mean, the networking was cool, and I got to meet a bunch of people, and I got to reconnect with Jerry Rocha, and we actually passed. Like, we had lunch. I did his podcast.
God, I love
he came
guy.
Down. Shut your mouth. He came down here, did the show on Friday, but he was going to hook me up with the record label next year. So all of the networking was great, but damn, I regret spending a whole week in L.A. for nothing, basically. Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah, we loved it, but.
What do you regret, Joel? What time
not
off?
Not taking enough time
not
off.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I regret you not taking enough time. Okay.
I didn't really take any time off unless I was sick.
Didn't you, though? Hmm? I mean, didn't you? You went to Vegas and...
That's not time off. That's work.
Oh, bitch. That was not work.
You got the bitch rolling today.
That was not work. We've been using that on this show now. I've got you guys. I got you guys. I tried to get you to use it.
We got to get to these calls.
Do you not have a? I mean, you took some time off.
No, I did not.
No,
I really did not. Nope. Just the times that they give me, like I didn't even request Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Monday or Tuesday, I didn't even request that.
So you don't regret Friday?
No, I do not regret Friday at
all.
You
shouldn't have. You had a great time.
It was a fantastic time.
We got some stuff done for a change. It was nice.
All right, before the break, Skip wants to get in here.
Hold on. He's being screened again.
That's what
so,
you
sorry.
Get. Yeah. Okay. That's what you get.
I don't know. I guess I should have taken more time off.
You get 2 weeks. You might as well use it.
Yeah.
You might as well. Mine seems like a lot because I sprinkle it out one day here, one day there. That's the way to do it. It's just 3-day weekends,
man.
No one
wants to know what you're sprinkling.
I'm sprinkling. I'm spreading my seed.
Well, if you were, you wouldn't have cats.
Those who dislike Harden, watch the Rockets still. Those who hate him, don't watch them, but still cheer for other teams. That was a text. Agree with that? Like trying to split hairs on who hate versus dislike. I don't know.
It's splitting hairs for sure.
For sure.
I mean, without a doubt. Like, come on. Like, dislike. Hey, people don't like him. If people don't like him, they may hate him. Whatever the case may be. He has a reputation,
to me, he's a guy that if he's on your team, you either deal with him or you like him. He's Pat Beverly, but just on a whole different level. But when Pat Beverly was a Rocket, everybody loved him. As soon as he goes to Clippers, hate that guy. Why is he antagonizing the Rockets over there? I remember watching him on the bench, on the Clippers bench, antagonizing Rocket players as they run up and down the court, thinking, bleep that guy. I hate that dude. But then I remembered, oh, yeah, that's why we loved him when he was a Rocket, because he does stuff like that.
I do miss his quote.
And it's the same thing.
Austin Rivers. Oh, no, he's on the Rockets now.
Man, that's got to be a weird dynamic in that locker room.
I was going
to
say.
They went to fight that dude. That's
the
only reason they went over there.
He was the guy in street clothes stirring it up. Now, the only thing you can say is Ariza's not there anymore, because Ariza was the one that went back after him. But other than that, the whole team still. And we still haven't gotten to the bottom that he and Chris Paul had issues.
I was going
to
say, how much do you think Chris Paul was consulted on this move?
I think he had to be.
Okay.
I think he had to be. All right. We'll wrap it up. We got one segment to go. Skip, we see you. So we'll try and get you in before we get out. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of the show. It's been fun. It's gone by fast. Had a lot of different things to cover. Currently, the topic was James Harden. A couple callers rolled over that still want to get in on the discussion. So, we'll get the callers out of the way and see if we have any time for anything else. But we know that my man Skip wants to get in on the conversation. Skip, you want to get on the conversation right now. We need some good conversation from you, Skip. Skip, what do you got?
All right, real quick. My point is, I hate when people say that, you know, the different eras make a difference. The bottom line is, if Harden would have been born in a different era, his game wouldn't be what it is today, right? He would have played tough just like those guys did. And if LeBron would have been born back then, he would have played tough because, remember, Jordan was soft until he got tired of getting beaten up by the Pistons, and then that's when he got more aggressive. So the old school guys need to stop saying that, you know, Harden wouldn't do that against the Pistons. Yeah, his game would change, but remember, he would have came up like that. So his game would have been aggressive because the game overall was more aggressive.
Great point, Skip.
Making sense. I like it.
Great point. And here's the other thing. Do you really want LeBron James with that frame and athleticism at that size playing back in that era and try and stop him?
Man.
He'd be knocking your ass down and looking at you on the way to the hole.
Could you imagine if Zion Williamson, if he turns out to be a good player and he was playing, dude, he's 300 pounds.
No. I just want to say this. And my years and years of watching and covering MMA have taught me size and frame doesn't always mean you're tough. And a perfect example of that, former center for your Houston Rockets, Dwight Howard, not known to be the toughest guy in the world.
I was going
to
say.
And he's a big
Zion
dude.
Zion is nothing
the
like Dwight Howard.
But I'm just
Howard.
Saying, no, but don't they equate like the fact with body size and muscles as tough.
Yeah, but when you're that big and you're that fast, it's a completely different dynamic.
Doesn't
to stop.
Matter.
I just wanted to.
To stop is one thing. We're talking tough. We're talking get in your face. If you want some of this, let's go type of thing. I'm talking tough.
Barry's right in the fact that the two biggest fake tough guys in the last couple of eras, Kevin Garnett and Dwight Howard. Yeah. And the one day that they squared off when Dwight was still with the Rockets, everyone just chuckled because they're like, which one's going to wait for a guy to get between them first before they start biting their lip and cussing at him?
Yeah, don't just because they're big, though. I mean, don't.
But again, that's the thing that I keep going back to on Austin Rivers. When he was with the Clippers, even before the street clothes incident with Ariza, he was talking mess to Dwight and everybody on the Clippers that year that Matt Barnes and Chris, all those guys had issues. He was in the middle of all of that, and everyone wanted to knock him on his ass. There had to be a whole lot of soul-searching questions asked before they brought him in.
Yeah.
Or guys on the team realize, ain't no big trade coming. We got to take the best possible guys out there that can help us, and he can help us.
Water under the bridge. Be professional, right? Yeah.
So we'll see how that turns out. Keith wants to get in here. Keith, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Enjoyed the show. Real quick, and this question for Joel and the other caller kind of segued me into it about the Pistons. But last night, Chauncey Billups was kind of hitting on all of his former teammates. And right now, Tayshaun Prince is an assistant to the GM for the Grizzlies. And I just wanted to ask Joel, how does he think he would do if to be on track as a general manager with his quiet demeanor? Because you got to remember, he was the only player that didn't come off the bench during the Malice in the Palace. But, I mean, he was a heck of a player. And I just want to get your thoughts on him being a GM, especially coming up under Dumars. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Keith. Barry, go ahead.
He wanted your answer.
I know, but I want all y'all's. I mean, here's my thing on anybody that wants any general manager position. First of all, it doesn't matter if you came off the bench or not, because you ain't fighting anybody. I mean, the biggest thing that I would say for anybody that wants to be a general manager in this league is you better know your numbers and you better know your salary cap, because, again, we talk about different eras. It has never been more important to be able to manage the salary cap, the collective bargaining agreement, to figure out and know all the different little idiosyncrasies of all the different clauses in the contracts and the trades and everything like that. But if you know the game, you know the game. And I think it was evident last night. The one thing that really showed up to me in that Laker-Warriors game, and I know you said you didn't watch basketball, but when LeBron went out and everybody assumed that they were going to collapse, smartest move Luke Walton could have made is he put Rondo in the game, he put the ball in his hands, and he said, Lonzo Ball, you sit down, and if we're going to win this game, we're going to have a coach on the floor. And Rondo arguably single-handedly led that team to victory.
Yeah,
Rondo's going to be a coach in this league at some point.
Oh, wow, really?
Because he's
going to be difficult to get along with, I would feel
it
like.
It could be an issue, but even when you talk about even the Bulls team, some of the teams he had issues with, they said when he was out with injury, he was next to the coaches, he was pointing stuff out. He just knows – some certain players just have a feel for the game, and I think that's where Rondo's going to be a coach. Tayshaun Prince, if he's learning under the Chris Wallaces of the world and guys like that and learning what it takes to be a general manager, absolutely he should be one someday.
So he was talking about Tayshaun Prince? I thought he was talking about Chauncey Billups.
Well, Chauncey Billups brought it up on the broadcast last night.
Oh.
But actually, if you were watching the broadcast, what Chauncey Billups brought up, and it was...
I thought he was talking about Chauncey Billups being a GM. Either way, it doesn't
Chauncey
matter.
Chauncey Billups should be, too. Could be.
But I think, to the point you were making about knowing the game and all that, remember this, too... Being a GM is more than just knowing salary caps. You have to know that. It's more than just – this is also – it's a people position. You have to be able – there are other GMs in the league that can make or break you. And and whether they're mutually beneficial as far as trades go, or they're trying to deke you like Daryl Morey does – but you have to know how to handle and deal with people. And that's an extremely important part of the game. So I don't know what kind of person Tayshaun Prince is.
He's
but
very
he
well
better
respected.
Have really good people skills.
And you better keep them. Because to your point, Barry, which is an outstanding point, and I have it on very good terms from very reputable sources, Daryl basically burned the bridge about half the general managers in the league.
I could see that.
By being exactly that. But you got to have a handshake is a handshake. And if we had a deal on the phone, then that's as good as ink on paper.
Yep.
And if you screw me over and brag about it, I'm not going to do another deal with you. And you got to be careful about that. That's part of being a general manager, too.
Does it make you wonder why they can't get anything done right now?
No. You're, good point.
I mean, I would imagine.
I mean.
No, it's a good point. There's a lot of people that don't want to deal with them, and there's a lot of people that like, if you give them the option of, I can build my team with a couple draft picks down the road, but it means helping the Rockets now, I'd rather suck a little bit more than give him what he wants.
Yep. Why would I help them now? I don't want to help him.
Hopefully he's honest with Fertitta and company about the guys that don't like him. This guy doesn't like me.
This guy won't be honest.
You want to initiate this conversation? I mean, that's what I would do.
But do you want to initiate your own firing? Because essentially that's what you're doing. If you're going to the owner and saying, I can't do
business with half the league now. We're hamstrung. Our hands are tied. We can't do business with half the league.
Not a good look. You're right.
That's the point that he's basically gotten himself into, is that he has duped and fleeced. And you know, don't blame him because he's smart.
Right.
And he was able to do it.
You
made the deal.
Either.
Yeah, but don't gloat. But you made the deal. But it's one of those things where you start to think, damn, if you've tricked half the league into these trades, you got to pay the devil at some point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, right.
And now this year, when you're desperate for a deal, guess what? Rent's due.
Think about it, Nick. The last thing you want to do is go to Tillman. Hey, I'd love to make a deal with so and so, but he ain't going to deal with us. And then Tillman, as the businessman, is going to go, why? Yeah. Well, I kind of fleeced him, and then I talked about it, and I was gloating about it back in the day.
Or even then, I just kind of, you know, we got the better end of the trade, and I kind of maybe, you know, said some things, or I not tricked him. But we always used to,
deceptive.
In fact, you would hear like, oh, Daryl Morey with the Jedi mind tricks pulls off another amazing trade, got something for nothing.
Wow.
And eventually people are like, well, I'm not going to be the one that says I'm getting talked about in the media about getting tricked. I'm not doing business.
Remember how many times the Rockets fleeced the Sacramento Kings? Jeff Petrie and the Kings wanted no part of Daryl after that.
Wow. I mean, I'll tell you what, though, man. If you're a general manager and there's 30 teams and half the team don't want it, that's 15 teams that don't like you. I don't know how you're a general manager. I didn't know it was that bad, to be honest with you. But if it is, yeah, I mean, you're right. If he's going up to Fertitta, I'm like, man, I can't talk to these people. It probably is initiating his firing. But that's a lot of bridges to burn when there's an NBA league of 30 teams.
Yeah.
30.
Put it this way. You have Mark Cuban to blame for Royce White, Terrence Jones, and whoever the third guy that was they drafted in that draft
class. I didn't know how you looked at Terrence Jones and was like, this guy's a player.
Stud.
Just the way he carried himself. It was so weird.
I got stories for days on that draft right there alone. All right, that's been a great show, guys. We're going to continue to roll the rest of the week. We'll be here. So hopefully you will be too. And of course, speaking of being here, Fred, AJ, John, the Blitz, they're here and they're going to be next. So don't go anywhere. It is the Usual Suspects. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.